Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. And we help us to be good servants and help us to learn about you from this. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who may be getting this on the website, I forgot to turn it on while I was reading the scripture, so go read Acts 12, 1 to 17, and that'll get you right up to speed. So Peter was in prison, and he's about to be executed. They had just killed James, and that made, when they say the Jews, they don't mean Jews as we say it today. They mean the leadership of the religion of the Jews. They were pleased because they didn't like Christians a whole lot. So they figured, well, if we kill Peter, that'll be even better. Herod wants to please the Jews, so he puts Peter in prison. And after they liked killing James, well, let's just kill Peter too. People were steadily praying for Peter. Now, one of the things that you will often see is somebody will say, I think we need to pray for whatever. And somebody else will say, won't do any good. It's never going to happen. This goes on with me and Pat all the time because I'm always praying that our government will get its stuff straightened out. And she keeps going, not going to happen, not going to happen. Very often I will say some people need to be put in jail because they're violating the law. Not going to happen. They're saying Peter's in prison. You're not going to get him out now. Look at all these soldiers. Look at all this stuff. You're not going to get him out. But they kept praying, Lord, however you're going to do it, we want you to save Peter. The Lord miraculously freed Peter because of the prayer. Now, Peter's not all that sure about this either. He thinks it's a dream. But after the angel leaves, Peter knows God is in charge and that prayer works. So he goes to the house where he knows everybody is, where they're still praying. Servant girl comes to the door, and he convinces her that, yeah, he is Peter, and so she just takes off, right? When she tells everybody, they think she's on drugs. You know, they're saying, you got to be kidding me. No way. And then some of them say, well, it must be his angel. They've probably already killed him, and his angel has come to see us. Peter tells them the Lord's still in charge, and the Lord himself got him out. And then he gets out of Dodge, but he's gone. He's not going to be there anymore. You know, tempt not the Lord your God by sitting there waiting for Herod to come try this again. Get out of here. As a child of God, you ought to expect God to answer your prayers. Now, as was said when we were discussing this earlier, sometimes we have to say, well, if it's your will. Sometimes we don't know what his will is, and so we have to say, do whatever is your will. There are many ways of praying that fall into line. I used to know somebody who would say, you have the right, if you do it in Jesus' name, to command God to do something. No, you do not. When it says in Jesus' name, what they mean is, if it's in line with Jesus' will, okay, if this is what's right, then I'm invoking Jesus' name to pray for it. Do you ask God to do something without adjusting your life to what you're praying for? You need to act like it's going to happen until the Lord clearly indicates it's not going to happen. you need, if particularly if you really feel a burden to pray for something, you need to pray that it will occur until God says, no, I don't want you to pray anymore. Now, there are some things that he's just given somebody a chance. When we pray for somebody to give their life to Christ, there may come a time when God just says, that's it, I'm done. Like he did with Pharaoh. That's it, I'm done. He's not listening. He's on his own now. So, just wait on the Lord and keep praying. Now, one of the things I used to do in regard to something like this, people would say, when you're riding along and somebody comes by you on a motorcycle the other way, do you wave to them? Now, let me assure you, you don't want to go, hey, because the wind will hit your hand like that and break your arm off. Don't do that. So what we generally do is we put it down on the side. Many people just do a two like that because it's like two wheels. Oh, we're both on two wheels or whatever. Why do you do that? Well, I always used to say, okay, let's take it a little farther. I'd be going down the road and somebody would be coming by me going the other way, and I would go like this, and I would think to myself, Lord, bless that guy and get him wherever he's going safely. And I said this to somebody, and he said, well, what if God didn't want him to get somewhere safely? What if God was truly intending to crash that guy and kill him off?
God doesn't intend.
Well, then it's up to God to do that. But it still pleases God that I'm praying for him, because I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying good on him, mm-hmm. and God will just disregard it if that's what his will is. Mm-hmm. So we don't worry about it. We pray for good for everybody as much as we can, except for the president. But at any rate...
I knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming, yes.
I knew that was coming.
So if you're praying for a revival, are you preparing for its coming? If we all sit here and we pray, we want revival, we want this church to grow, what are you going to do if 30 new people show up next week?
Yay.
That's it. We're going to say yay, and we'll just do whatever. God will provide whatever we need. We may be running out of coffee and snacks and stuff like that, but if they come back, we'll have more. We'll just, you know, whatever has to happen. What will we do if a large group repents, like at a revival or something, and all of a sudden they just show up here on a Sunday night? We'll say, praise the Lord. We'll take them in. There's a lot of people that are being led to the Lord by people we don't think about. And once again, we discovered that there are actually at least three, in this particular, at least three separate clubs, whatever you want to call it, that are Christian and are trying to lead people to Jesus. Actually, it would be four because there's Christian Crusaders too. But what happens if they hold an event and a large number of bikers from Everett get saved? And maybe, as it happens, you know, some of the people who know us say, you really ought to go to Eagle Wing. And all of a sudden, here comes a bunch of bikers. Scare the living daylights out of people when this thing over here gets filled up with bikes. But at any rate, mm-hmm. you know, if we're going to pray that the Lord will bring in people, we need to be saying, what are we going to do when the people get here? If you're praying for forgiveness, are you still living with guilt? I've known so many people like that. I have a friend, Pat's met him, and she's heard him say it, who always said, if I come into your church It'll probably burn down on the spot because God is not. His father was a pastor, and he apparently went off in the opposite direction. And I told him, no, he won't. He'll take you back right now. I've known a lot of people who have said, I'm too bad. God won't have me. I have a whole sermon on you can't be too bad. Okay? So, if you're praying for forgiveness, don't hold your guilt. If you put your sins at the foot of the cross, don't pick them up again. I knew a girl before I actually left to go into service who I was going to a Bible school in the backwoods of Vermont. And she was from Massachusetts, and she had been very promiscuous. And she let everybody know that she had been living the wrong kind of life and all this kind of stuff, and so on. And so at one point when she's just berating herself and all this kind of stuff, I said to her, Crystal, are you a virgin? And she said, haven't you been listening? You know, of all the stuff I used to do. I said, but it says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And she just got this look of, whoa, whoa. So I said, in the Lord, eyes of the Lord, are you a virgin? Yeah, I guess I am. I said, then drop that big load at the foot of the cross and take off serving the Lord without it. Okay? It's like somebody came and picked you up, but you're still sitting in the car holding this big bag of sin over your shoulder. Leave it there. Don't worry about it. If you've asked God to provide for your needs, do you remain worried and anxious? This is my big one. I always worry. Pat. Now she's sitting there, you know, snickering, but Pat does much the same thing, only about in a different way. Because she wants everything laid out. How are you going to pay for it? Where are you going to get it? What are we going to do? How's it? Everything has to be in line or we're not taking a single step. If God provides for birds and flowers, and in Mark, in Matthew and Mark, he says, you know, he takes care of the birds, not one drops without God knowing it. He clothes the flowers in such beauty that nobody that's rich and royal is clothed like that. And they throw them into the fire every day because they wilted. If God takes care of them, he'll take care of you. God always answers prayers. Sometimes it's what we asked for. Sometimes it's right out of left field. Very often when something just comes right out of left field, you go, oh, that's even better. I hadn't thought of that. Sometimes it comes right out of left field and we say, oh, I'm not sure what I think about this. But then as it goes along, it turns out, guess what? God knows what's best for you, and you'll realize it later. It's always what's best for us. And sometimes, because he's doing what's best for us and what's best for his will, sometimes the answer is just no. And if God says, no, I'm telling you, no. That's not what I want. Then you need to stop praying for it. Don't pray for something God told you he doesn't want to do. I once heard of a lady that they had been praying for years. And eventually, she told them to stop praying. Because she said, no, I need to go home. I've gotten to the point where this is getting to be a burden. I need to go ahead and go home. And so she did. And I told her husband, when Pat and I grow up, we're not quite there yet, but we're edging up to it, we want to grow up to be like you and Mrs. Piper. But that's the whole thing. It's just leave it all in God's hands. You know, if you strongly feel God wants you to pray for something, pray for it. And remember, prayer is nothing but talking to God. You can have a discussion with him about it. I used to have a friend named Elwin Davies who would tell you that he regularly had tiffs with God. This little Welsh guy. And here he was, he'd get into an argument with God. Invariably, he lost. Because guess what? God knows what he's doing. But God doesn't mind. He has a good time. He has a good time discussing things with you so that at some point, hopefully, you'll come around to his point of view and set off in the direction he wants you to go. So don't stop praying. Paul said, pray without ceasing. We need to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I thank you that you've given me some of these messages that are so interesting, even though I've forgotten a lot of them. Help me to gather this all together and to teach people about prayer in a way you want them to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
Didn't God say that to Moses?